There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
Behind police barricades, an aircraft under a tarp.
Her name, X-20. Her type, an experimental interceptor. Recent history, a crash landing in the Mojave Desert after a 31-hour flight 900 miles into space. Incidental data, the ship with the men who flew her disappeared from the radar screen for 24 hours.
Two nurses walk down a hospital corridor.
Well, hello, Colonel. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Lieutenant. I'm fine. The Major Guard here?
Well, of course. He's here.
Of course.
Go on in. He'll be glad to see you.
Thank you.
The colonel walks down the hall.
Isn't that one of the space pilots, the ones that crashed?
Yeah, that's Colonel Forbes.
But the shrouds that cover mysteries are not always made out of a tarpaulin, as this man will soon find out on the other side of a hospital door.
The colonel opens the door.
Well, the prodigal colonel, welcome. Hey, how about a shot of straight orange?
Says the man in the bed.
How are you feeling?
Are you serious? You know, one more thermometer in my puss, I'm going to absent myself without leave from this establishment. Well, come on, what's it like in the outside world?
Yeah, it's fine.
Hey, well, tell me about it. Who'd you see? Talk to any of the guys? Well, what about the ship, Clegg? Did you check her over?
The colonel looks around the hospital room.
It's fine, the ship's fine. No, they put it under wraps.
Hey, you got off on a toot, didn't you? You don't look so good.
How do I look?
A little hungover, maybe?
The colonel takes out a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, you got another one of those.
Major Gart takes a cigarette. The colonel lights it.
Hey, steady, Colonel. Steady.
Then his own cigarette.
Bill, something's happened. Something I just don't understand.
Go on.
He closes the door.
First, I want to get oriented. I want you to ask some questions, all right?
Okay, all right. When did I leave here? Yeah, well, don't you know?
Look, I don't know anything anymore. Look, all I need is somebody's help, all right? Look. At 9:30 yesterday morning, I walked out of here. Didn't I?
Yeah, about that time, I guess.
Who did I walk up with?
Well, nobody was with you.
That's what I mean. You say nobody.
He holds up a newspaper.
What's that say? Go ahead, tell me, what's it say?
Well, in effect, it says those two intrepid voyagers into the unknown returned from the unknown in a slightly dented aircraft.
What about the picture? Who's in the picture?
Colonel Clegg Forbes and Major William Gart, taken just before their historic flight that ended in mysterious disappearance and crash.
Forbes throws the paper to the floor, paces back and forth.
That's what you remember, huh? You and me, and the X-20 taking off. About 4 hours up, we black out, and 24 hours later, we end up in a crashed aircraft in the desert. We don't know where we've been or what's happened. Is that right?
That's right. Well, now, what's the matter? Isn't that right?
The colonel walks up to him.
Bill, There were three of us in that aircraft. You and me and a colonel named Harrington.
Oh, yeah, Harrington.
Ed Harrington! Now, look, he was 36 years old. He was my best friend. I'd known him for 15 years, and you'd known him for five!
Major Gart stares blankly at him.
That ship took a crew of three. And we were the three. And there were three of us when they brought us back here to the hospital after picking us up in the desert. You and me and Harrington. Harrington and I were just scratched. You were the one with the busted leg. Yesterday morning, they discharged Harrington and me. There were three beds in this room. Yours and mine and Harrington's.
Clegg. I don't know anybody named Harrington. He wasn't on the crew with us. The X-20 carried two men. You and me. Nobody named Harrington. Nobody else at all. When you walked out of here yesterday morning, you walked out alone. There's never been three beds in this room. Only two. Yours and mine.
Forbes grimaces.
I think you better be looked at.
The colonel grabs his arm.
Please. I know you'd say that, Bill. And I don't blame you for saying it either. But let me describe to you what I remember. Look, I'll give you a breakdown chronologically of everything that happened as of yesterday morning. Bill, you said goodbye to us from that bed. And you said, Harrington, look after Forbes. He drinks too much. Those were your exact words. And I stood right at that door, and I laughed. I swear to you, Bill. I swear to you, it happened. I know it happened.
Earlier in the hospital room.
I want to let you have it, fresh punk kid.
Approaching Major Gott in his bed.
Oh, I'm going to fix this baby's wagon. I'm going to tell the medics that he's a very sick cookie and ought to be kept under observation for another 7 years. And every Saturday night, Major Gart, the colonel and I are going to phone you from whatever bar we happen to be in at the time, and if you're nice.
If you are real nice.
We'll even let you talk to our women.
Will you come on already? I just can't stand these long goodbyes.
Putting on his hat.
Why don't you both get out of here and leave me alone? Let me suffer in loneliness all by myself, huh?
The newspaper headline, three spacemen returned from crash.
Oh, that's a good-looking guy in the middle there, but who are the two slobs on the sides?
Well, Willie,
we'll drop by and see you tomorrow, maybe?
Well, get lost. Who needs you?
The two colonels go out. At a bar. The two colonels enter and spot a woman sitting alone at the bar. Forbes takes the seat next to her, Harrington next over.
Hey, you're Forbes and Harrington, ain't you? Ain't you the guys that was up in space?
Yeah, but we can still buy a couple of beers for 30 cents Earth money.
Oh, you bet your life, but your money's no good here. The drinks are in the house. I don't get to serve many celebrities. Now drink up, boys.
Thanks.
I don't even care that you cracked up the ship. And I'm a taxpayer.
Say, what's it like up there in outer space?
Well, it's like way out.
Says Forbes. A stony look comes over Harrington's face. Forbes puts his arm around his shoulder.
What's the matter?
Harrington trembles.
Something wrong?
Well, I'll tell you after I taste the beer. Happy landings, chaps. Wherever possible.
Harrington drops his glass.
Well, that's okay, that's okay. That ain't the last glass of beer in the place.
You sick, Ed? I'm not sick. It's got a very funny feeling. Whew, I never felt anything like this before.
What kind of feeling?
It's like I didn't belong here. Like if I was to let myself go, I'd...
You'd what?
like I'd disappear.
Wow.
Happy landings.
Well, sure.
Harrington gulps down some beer.
I'm going to go call my folks.
Getting up.
You all right, Ed?
Yeah, I'm all right.
He walks down to a phone booth.
Oh, operator. I'd like to make a collect call, please, to Des Moines, Iowa. The residence of Mr. James Harrington.
He comes out of the phone booth.
Clegg!
Yeah?
Come here. Huh? Please, would you come here quick?
Forbes walks down towards Harrington, who slumps down in the phone booth.
What's trouble?
Clegg, I just called home, called my folks. My mom answered the phone.
Yeah.
I told her who I was, and she said she didn't have any son named Ed Harrington. That's what she said, Clegg. And then I asked to talk to the old man, and he got on and kept telling me to get off the phone. He didn't want any practical jokester bothering his wife. He said he didn't have any son at all. What is it, Clay? What's it all mean?
I don't know. It's just a gag, maybe.
Harrington shakes his head.
No gag. It's all part of this feeling. This feeling that I shouldn't be here. That none of us should be here. As if what? As if maybe we shouldn't have come back from that flight at all. Maybe somebody, something made a mistake and let us get through and we shouldn't have.
Good. You stay put. I'm going to get you a good stiff drink, all right?
Harrington grabs him.
Take it easy.
Pushing him back into the phone booth.
You stay put, all right?
Forbes goes back to the bar. Stops at a table. Picks up the newspaper, which now reads, two spacemen return from crash in desert, with only Forbes and Gart in the photo. He turns and looks back at the phone booth. Walks over. And the phone booth is now empty. Returns to the smiling woman at the bar.
You got a beer here, honey.
Where's my buddy's drink?
Who?
My buddy's drink. Colonel Harrington, the beer he had in place of the one he dropped on the...
The floor is now clean.
I don't know what you mean, Colonel. You came in here alone.
What are you, a wise guy or something? What?
Glancing down at the newspaper. He backs away from the bar.
You're crazy!
Towards the door.
You're crazy! You know that? You're crazy!
Tossing the paper. In an apartment. Forbes makes a phone call.
Operator? I'd like Anderson Air Force Base, please. Commanding officer's residence. What? Well, call me back, will you?
He looks at himself in a mirror.
Ed, you... Amy. Oh, Amy, honey, I'm so glad to see you.
And you, Colonel Clegg, are a devious, malicious, two-faced, two-timing...
No, look, I'm in trouble, Amy. I know you won't understand this, but
I think I'm in bad trouble. I need your help.
I have no doubt you are. You send me a wire that you're going to meet me at the bus station at 12 o'clock tonight. Well, I was there at 12, and I was there at 1, and I was still there at 2. Do you have any idea how many bars I've been to? How many motels?
Amy, please!
Clegg, what's the matter? What kind of trouble are you in? Please, tell me. I want to know.
He kisses her.
I don't know how to begin to tell you this, but... Well, I sent you that wire because I was getting discharged from the hospital this morning. And Ed and I were going to wait for you. It was in the wire. It was in the telegram.
What was?
I wrote down that Ed and I were going to get out this morning. I wrote down Ed and I. I've got it here someplace. Look.
Picking up a piece of paper.
See? I'm getting out at 9.
He paces the floor.
Amy, I wrote down that Ed and I were leaving the hospital. I wrote down that Ed and I were...
Ed? Who's Ed?
Don't you know?
I don't know any Ed. Who's Ed?
Ed. Harrington. You know him, Amy. Ed, you've met him 100 times. Ed, we've been to dinner together. We've been to dances together. Ed, we've double dated Ed.
She embraces him.
Clegg, what's the matter with you? What's happened to you?
I don't know. I swear to God, I don't know. Yes? Put him on. Hello, General. This is Clegg Forbes, sir. I'm terribly sorry to call you this hour of the morning, sir. Thank you, sir. General, it's about Ed Harrington. Ed Harrington, sir. You remember Ed. We're in your wing at the field, sir. We're with you 19, 20 months, sir. Harrington, sir. Ed Harrington! Ed Harrington! Why does anybody remember me?
She puts her hands on his shoulders. He gets up.
I know. This is a gag, isn't it? That's what it is, isn't it, Amy? This is a gag.
Stepping back towards the patio.
This is a big, earth-shaking, highly complicated, and fantastically conceived practical joke, isn't it? He's still at the bar, isn't he, Amy? That's where he is. He's still at the bar, isn't he? He's still at the bar!
He runs out. The bar is closed for the night.
Ed! Harrington! Ed! Ed! Harrington!
He kicks through the glass in the door. He walks towards the bar.
Ed?
Empty bar stools stacked on tables and on the bar.
Harrington. Harrington. Harrington.
He knocks a chair off a table.
Please, Ed. Ed.
He goes in the phone booth.
Please come back. Please, Harrington. Please, Ed. Please come back.
Back in the hospital room.
I don't know what I did then. I just ran, I guess, all the way down the street like a crazy man. Seems to me I heard a burglar alarm somewhere. Amy. I just left Amy standing there, I guess. I don't even know what happened to Amy.
Clegg, I don't know Ed Harrington. I never heard of him before. I think he must be an illusion or something.
Oh, I know he's not an illusion. I know. He's been yanked out of here. He's been taken away. He told me, remember? He told me maybe. Maybe somebody or something made a mistake. Let us get through when we shouldn't have gotten through. Gotta come back to get us. Somebody up there. Oh, Bill. This is weird. It's just plain weird. Like I just don't belong. Just like I don't belong.
He walks toward a mirror, sees Major Gart, but not himself.
Arno! Arno! I don't want this to happen!
Turning frantically towards Major Gart, then rushing out of the room. Major Gart goes after him into an empty corridor.
Somebody get him! Somebody get him! Somebody get him!
Major, you shouldn't be out of bed. Why, if the doctor could...
Somebody's got to help him. Colonel Forbes, somebody's got to help him right away.
Who?
Colonel Forbes! You know Colonel Forbes. Why, he was brought in here with me. Why, he was right over here in this...
The room now with only a single bed. He holds his hands on his face.
Oh, my dear God.
Major, let me help you get into bed. Come ahead, Major. Then I'll call the doctor. Come in.
He lies down.
Are you all right? Major Henderson!
He sits up and looks at the newspaper. The headline now, Lone Spaceman Completes Journey. He alone in the photo. He collapses into the bed. Another officer walks with a nurse.
How are we fixed in this ward here?
A room 15 down here can take 3 patients, sir. It's empty.
Let's take a look.
They walk down the corridor. The room now completely empty.
Mm-hmm. That'll do for the malaria patients. Order some beds up from QM, will you?
Yes, sir.
Once upon a time, there was a man named Harrington, a man named Forbes, a man named Gart. They used to exist, but don't any longer. Someone or something took them somewhere. At least they are no longer a part of the memory of man. And as to the X-20 supposed to be housed here in this hangar, this too does not exist. And if any of you have any questions concerning an aircraft and 3 men who flew her, speak softly of them. And only in the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by Douglas Hayes. Teleplay by Rod Serling, based on a short story by Richard Matheson. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Rod Taylor, with James Hutton, Charles Aidman, Maxine Cooper, Paul Breyer, Sue Randall, Joe Bassett. Music by Leonard Rosenman. Director of Photography, George T. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Assistant Director, Edward Denault. Casting, Mildred Goose. Film Editor, Fred McGuire. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Sound, Frank Milton, Gene Valentino. Animated title by UPA. Copyright 1959 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio description by Lou Lasher.